Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Hey, we want to welcome everybody to the Transformational Tuesday at the Transformational Cafe. We thank you all for joining us tonight. And if you're checking us out after we've moved on over to iTunes, thank you so much for checking us out. We do have some of our regulars are joining us tonight, and we have people who are joining into the iTunes community, and we thank you for joining us as well. So, Mr. Jamie, how are you this evening?
Well, this is Mr. Jamie calling from Seattle, Washington, in the heart of the Great Pacific Northwest. I'm doing pretty good.
All right. That's good. That's good. How is Seattle this lovely evening?
It's very nice. Can't complain.
Good. 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 That's awesome. Miss Gloria, how are you this evening?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hello.
Mr. Rogers is going proud.
Say it loud, girlfriend.
And I am Robin Masevich, your host for the Transformation Cafe. So I have my husband Andrew has found a really good article for tonight's show. It was called 11 Things Dogs Don't Like Humans Do. And we're calling this show Working with a Dogma. This is totally a dogma show. I love that. So, it's actually the article was on MotherNaturesNetwork.com, and so that's going to be the initial M and NN.com, and it's listed under there. So it's really interesting, and there's actually been a little bit of some interesting conversations for the once they put the blog out. Some people have been talking about it, so we'll kind of get into that as we're talking about this stuff. So, Gloria, how many dogs have you had?
How many dogs have I had?
Yeah.
Personally, I would say myself, I've had two, but we've had
two dogs, okay.
We've had a number of dogs in our family.
Uh-huh. So you've had quite a few dogs.
I've had a number of dogs. I wouldn't say quite a few.
Okay. Okay. And Jamie, how about you?
I've had more than five and less than ten.
Okay, that's secret. That is a secret.
So we're talking about dogs? Is that what we're doing?
We're talking about dogs. And so I'm wondering how many dogs have you had?
None within the last probably 20 years. My parents usually, I grew up with little dogs, so I haven't had a dog for a long time. I'm a cat person.
Yes.
I like dogs, but I just haven't owned one in such a long time. So, yeah.
Okay. And when I was little, we had poodles, different kinds of poodles. And then since growing out on my own, I think I've had probably six or seven dogs, cockapoos and I'm trying to think. What are the other ones that I would call? Anyway, I'll think of the name. Think of the different types that I've had. So this article was very interesting because, it has the 11 things that dogs don't like that humans do. And the number one thing was using words more than body language. And the article goes on to say that since humans are vocal, dogs are I wonder if that's just a normal thing or if they've adapted because of interacting with us. But they say that dogs are expert readers of the human body and can figure out what we're thinking and feeling before we even know we do. And when I read that, what reminded me of me is, like, it always seems that dogs know when you don't feel good. They're always kind of want to come and sit next to you and hang around, or, like, even when you're sad or you're kind of just in just kind of a, you know, not a happy mood and things like that. So I wanted to see what you guys wanted to think about that. Did you ever have dogs that did that, that would come over and kind of just sit next to you when you were sad or they knew that you weren't feeling well? Gloria, did you have that?
I never did. I had a cat that did.
Never had a dog come and be with you when you were not well?
Anytime we've ever had dogs, they just want to be with you. It doesn't matter whether you feel good or not.
Oh, okay. It wasn't in particular with any kind of emotional stuff?
No. Just that, you know, and the only reason I noticed it with the cat is because we had a cat that didn't like to be held. And one time it came and jumped up in my lap and just sat there until I was feeling better. I was feeling better, and I started to pay it attention. It got down immediately.
Well, there, you know, on a certain level, there's, on like a spiritual level, I know I've heard people say that they really feel that dogs and cats are healers, and they really will come and help to shift your energy when they've got things like that kind of going on. So they're little, you know, little healers with something like that. So I have a tendency to kind of think that's true, because they just seem to be very sensitive to when you're emotionally imbalanced or physically imbalanced, and they'll come and hang out with you for a while. I think that's kind of a true thing. What?
I was just thinking of my state of mind being balanced. I'd be having pets hanging around me.
I need a dog. No. Time for a dog. Okay. But
I know that there are dogs that can sense if you're a diabetic or if you're going to pass out, or they sense your blood sugar, I think, or they can smell your. They can sense if you're having a problem or a seizure, that type of thing, too. I know that they're trained to do that. Some dogs are.
I wonder if that's the same. Cause like,
cancer.
You know,
right.
Because dog scent is just so much more powerful. I was like, what is it, 20 times
right.
more powerful than a human being? Something like that, yeah. They can smell the hormonal shifts and changes.
Right.
That would be an interesting thing. It's like, what is that? What is the sensing? Is it more? We're thinking it's the way that we would relate to it, but for a dog, it's really different. You know, I'm sure when they can come look at that.
And now I saw that they even can train dogs to, you know, like they train a drug sniffing dog to find drugs, but now they can find electronics like flash drives. That are hidden, they're able to sense the electronic smell for some reason. So if they were searching for something in a house and it was like a computer drive or flash drive or something, they can sense that now too, I think. That was a new one. So
well,
if somebody was trying to hide something.
They probably always have been able to do that, but they didn't, you know, wasn't identified as that kind of an energy. What do you want to bet? You know,
well,
maybe
they just are able to do that now. I mean, that's kind of a specialized thing. I think it's for if they're looking for something in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's interesting
that's
if you think about yeah. Good, thank you. With that level of electromagnetic, because our bodies are based on electromagnetics, on magnetic levels, that would be something even in the sensing of our emotions. It could go back to that as well.
Robin.
That's kind of an interesting thing. Yes.
Did you happen to open that email link that I sent you?
No.
I had someone
send me.
I sent it the other day. I had someone who sent me a link, and it was about a dog that has been trained. He's up in the Washington area, up near Jamie, and he is part of a research team that tracks the health of whales, of killer whales. And he can smell killer whale scat.
Killer whale what?
Scat.
Scat.
Who?
Whale doo-doo.
whale, yes, we'll go there.
Well, you know, hey, I've never heard
feces.
Of it as scat.
Whale,
feces. Okay, feces. Yeah, that's scat.
And
I've never heard of it.
Apparently, it's only viable for 30 minutes before it will sink below the water line, and he can smell it. And his reward is a toy. It's a rubber ball.
Okay. So what's the advantage of the scat? Are they collecting specimens and having it for testing?
They're testing it for the health of the whale to find out what they're eating and its digestion processes. I don't know all the details. It was a very short clip, but it was it was really quite interesting that they should be training a dog to do that.
Well, that kind of makes sense. When you look at the overall thing, I mean, with dogs being hunters, there would be other animals that they would know that they're scat, if you want to call it that, and being able to follow their trails and different things like, you know, for that. I think that's interesting. I don't know why I'm thinking of in the Native American traditions when you would get together to, you know, do peace circles and things like that. They would want to know how your scat was doing. Because in looking at a bowel movement or what was going on the physical level, that would show people what's going on all multiple levels with each other. So they definitely would be talking about that on a level of, you know, hey, how's your scat?
Okay, then.
I know.
Well, you know, the Germans have a toilet, so you can examine your scat after you've scatted.
You scan your scat?
Well, yeah, it's on a German toilet has a little ledge, so after you've gone, you can see if you're doing okay. That's all.
Okay.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
Well,
you know,
if
it's good enough, if it's good enough for a whale, it's good enough for me. Hey.
Right.
So anyway, we were here. We were talking about, you know, using our words to communicate with dogs instead of having it be body language, and it's very confusing for dogs because dogs really don't understand words per se, understanding the language, but yet they're very, very good at body language and being able to sense what kind of things are being requested of them. So what I thought was interesting is when you look at just communication on a regular level, which is what they teach when it comes to levels of listening skills and when you're doing learning how to be a good presenter, they say that you know, what you're actually saying is only about 20% of what's actually been taking in on multiple levels for communicating. So your words are just, you know, just part of the process. It's how are you presenting it with your body and with the way you hold yourself and being able to do your gestures and things like that. So it's the multiple ways that everything gets communicated. So to me, it's not necessarily just dogs. It's just a level of communication and the way that things are being expressed. So that whole totally made sense to me. You know, these dogs are super smart. You know, this whole dogma thing is just a great thing. They said for an experiment with your dog is spend a day not talking to your dog but just gesturing to your dog. They said it would be like giving your dog the best vacation in the world. Because humans just have a tendency to just be too chatty. Can you imagine that? Here we have a radio show. We're being too chatty with our stuff. Dogs were just like, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. That's okay. But that's interesting because, like, you think about dogs that like to watch TV, you know, checking out the commercials and looking at all that different kinds of stuff too. So, you know, is it the words or just the overall images of stuff that they're taking it in? So, but even having a day of silence, gosh, that's such a great thing. And we know we had done a show a little while ago about meditating and being in just a place of silence and having things quieter. I think everybody would be a little happier if we had, you know, a little more silence in the day. So anything on that you guys want to chime in on about, you know, dog experiences you've had with dogs about, you know, thinking that they understood you when you were talking to them, but it's really more about your gestures and your body language.
Other than my body language for a dog, like I'm scared of a dog. I don't really have.
Well, yeah, they definitely
spirit.
Know that
yeah.
too. Yeah, they can sense
right.
the fear and stuff the way you're holding your body. Actually, that's a number. There's another one down here about when you're actually looking at dogs and things like that. That's like, that's number six. Okay. But again, that's using your words and using the body language. So number two is really, really controversial. And I know this is going to be something we're talking about here. It said that dogs don't like to be hugged. You shouldn't hug your dog because they don't like that at all. It's not a normal behavior that they would have because you never see dogs going around hugging each other. But I don't know. Like, you see puppies. Puppies all are always, like, laying on top of each other and putting their arms around each other. So is that normal? I don't know. That's kind of an interesting
thing. I guess I hadn't really thought about it.
I know. I hadn't really thought about it either until, like, I was looking at this article. But it's not a normal behavior for them. And when you put your arms around a dog, it's basically showing a level of being dominant to them. And so they're not going to like that. you know. It's so there's, I think some of it, because Gloria and I were talking about this before the show, because this is the one thing that we had had discussed beforehand, that it, I think some of it has to do with breeds, the different kinds of dogs, and basically their tendencies about being hugged and things like that. But there are a lot of people that weren't happy with that. It's like, my dog loves it when I hug him, and, you know, how can they say that? But, you know, this is a generality when it comes to, the, you know, saying that dogs don't like to be hugged. I mean, it's not every dog isn't going to say, no, don't hug me. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing with that. So it's a matter of showing connection, because, like, you know, there's lots of, I can think of lots of big dogs. They like to just totally lean on you. They're like, you know, it's a leaning kind of thing instead of a hugging thing, of just, you know, being right there and showing, getting connection that way. So, you know, depending on your dog, you may not want to be hugging them. So that's kind of an interesting thing. So, again, a lot of these things have to do with dominance and if you're basically being the alpha in the relationship with your dog. And that kind of goes back into the whole thing with if you're a dog whisperer and things like that. That's an interesting thing. That could be a whole show, too, talking about just the different aspects of the things you can learn about, you know, people who have dog whisperers and the things they learn about what dogs prefer and communication and all that. And some of it just goes right into connecting and relationships, just in general with, you know, a human being to a human being kind of thing. And some of that, that's one reason why I thought this show would be interesting, is really coming from that perspective of how is that the same as, you know, in relationship to another person. And it's like, you know, go back to number one and saying, you know, using words more than body language, you know, when it comes to levels of communication, am I really engaging with that person or am I just chattering on kind of thing? Is there, am I making eye contact and gesturing and knowing that you're being connected with that person in more than just talking to them? You're really using, you know, a lot more of yourself to be able to be connected. And same thing with hugging, depending on how the hug is. And because so many hugs, I think, I'll think of some of this is where little kids will go ahead and grab on a dog and they're basically just, you know, the dog's just like, you need to let go. You see little kids get, leech onto a dog and they're not going to let go. I can see why many dogs are like, I don't want to ever get hugged again, that kind of thing. I think that part of that too is the relationship between what did they learn when they were younger and how they are in relationships with stuff. So, you know, was it done in kindness and love and being gentle, or was it something of over dominant, thinking, trying to treat it like it was a plush animal, you know, that kind of thing too. So, number three
My son used to get on top of the dog and ride it when he was an infant.
Your son would get on top of his dog and ride him. That is not covered in the 11. No.
No, it's not. And I have to say that those dogs were so protective of him, and it was like, even if he, you know, you could tell that the dog was wincing as the baby would go to pull himself up, and that dog would just stand there, and he would look at him, and he'd look at us, and we're like, it's okay, and we'd, you know, train the child more than the dog, but it was an experience we all remembered.
Yeah, I don't think I have any dog that would want to be ridden like a horse. I don't think that would be something, yeah. So, same thing, it goes back to that when the kids are little, want to treat them like they're a stuffed animal or something like that instead of, you know, their canine friend. So, number three was petting a dog on the face or patting them on the head. And that one goes really into the same thing, you know, how did you like it when you were little and your aunt would come up and pat you on the head and say, oh, look at you, you're growing up so big. And you look at them like, don't pat me on the head. I'm not, you know, that's not appreciated. So same thing with the dogs, that it's, and they really get into talking about the danger of that, because depending on the dog and his tolerance level of that kind of behavior, that more than likely that's going to be the one thing that winds up you getting bit, because you're patting a dog in the head. So, again, it's the relationship you have with the pet, but along with it, too, is a level of how are you doing that kind of a thing with connection to the dog. So all of this is about that. But, I don't think I want to get patted on the head, so I'm kind of with my dog on that one. What do you think about that, Gloria?
I don't have an opinion.
You want to get patted on the head? You're okay with that?
I've been patted on the head.
And it was like whatever.
I think it depends on who's patting you on the head, I guess.
Yeah.
If you like
patting
them or not.
You on the head. So after somebody, after you gave somebody, you know, everybody was, somebody was really happy with a a tattoo. They could pat you
on
the head.
Yeah, they could pat me on the head, right?
Like, good job.
You like Benny Hill, and they could hit me on my bald spot a couple times, or rub my belly for good luck.
Rub your belly for good luck. Yeah, that,
mm-hmm.
that was not under the 11 too either. Like rubbing the belly. Or actually, rubbing the belly was more receptive than patting on the head. That's for sure. So, yeah, they say that the number one thing if you want to be connecting to a dog is to pat them on the back. You know, like by their tail, up on the spine area, right there. He said that that's the one place that they prefer that they like to be petted is like just the back right there by their tail. It's getting patted right there. So interesting on that. So, but it's the same thing with the face. You know, if you don't know that, if you're not really comfortable with that person, there's not a connection with that. You know, how many people want to get petted on their face? A little too personal, and that's another place that, you know, you're asking to get bit because it's, you know, up there by the teeth. And if they're not happy, they're going to nip at you for sure, knowing on that kind of stuff. So number four was walking up to a stranger and looking them in the eye. And this one reminded me of back in the day when I had a self-defense course for, like, women. It was teaching us that about when it came to levels of to protecting yourself and looking around your situation is you want to be looking. So when somebody you don't know, a stranger, is coming up to look at you, that you look at them, but you should never stare them down. Because it's staring them down, it automatically makes them feel uneasy, and you put yourself into more danger because you're creating attention. So that, I thought that was interesting. So it's about, you know, being territorial and having a level of feeling intimidated. So you don't want to have a dog feeling intimidated by you walking up like that. And you always have to think about, too, it's that distance of, like, being taller and more dominant to an environment. But I don't know, you know, the dog can go for those knees, man. Going to get you good on that one. So I thought that was really an interesting thing about walking up with that. But it made perfect sense, you know, just like, you know, looking from a human perspective of that. If somebody come walking up and they're staring you down, you definitely don't want to do that. So it was recommended that if you're coming up to a dog you don't know, is you shouldn't have your shoulders square to the dog. You should kind of be off center. And you kind of look around the dog, and, you know, inadvertently to where you're not staring them down, but yet they know that you know that they're there, that kind of thing. And speaking softly, of course, and not, you know, yelling or anything like that, just kind of letting them know you see them, but it's not like it's that important. I have a friend of mine who's been really looking at the whole dog training thing. She's a mutual friend of Gloria and I. Her name's Kathy. And Kathy's gotten into dog care and to being like a pet sitter. And she's really looked at that, just all this different kinds of stuff. And one thing that she had shared with me once was when it comes to looking at dominance and things like that, a lot of it just has to be that when you're having a dog that's trying to get your attention, sometimes the best thing to do is to ignore that dog. Because if you ignore the dog, that makes you the one who's basically the alpha. Because puppies and all that kind of stuff get ignored by the lead dog until they basically settle themselves down to where they can, you know, be in a different relationship with the alpha. So I thought that was interesting. So have you ever had a problem with that, Jamie, where you've had a dog that you kind of walked up to him and it was kind of a stare down situation?
Well, I just I wouldn't go out of my way for this thing. I generally don't stare down dogs I don't know, or most of the dogs I see are cute little dogs that are like accessories. They're not like people in the military, or I don't know. What's that? Well, they're like little dogs for apartments, and they're kind of more of an accessory,
puppy.
A fashion accessory.
Yeah, they're a purse puppy.
Right.
How about you, Gloria?
Well, I was reading that article, and there are a lot of things in that article that make me go, girl, you're so crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And the idea of, you know, they talk about not talking to a dog. They look at it as teasing. Like if you have a dog that's barking, that's standing behind the gate, barking at you. And a lot of times, if you talk to the dog and it hears your tone and you're being a friend to it, it doesn't see you as a threat anymore. You know, mm-hmm. it's like it lowers the level of a threat. And so there's a lot of things that I would take with a grain of salt. As far as staring down a dog, I would have no reason to do that.
No, no. And, you know, that's you know, enticing them to be put on the, putting themselves on guard just like a person would. That one totally makes sense to me about, you know, how that wouldn't be something a dog would want you to do anyway. And that, to me, somebody staring down a dog is basically looking for trouble anyway, because they're basically trying to, you know, give them a problem. So that totally makes sense. So, and then number five, I think, is just really interesting. It says not providing structure and rules. You know, that goes right back to being a parent and dealing with kids that don't have structure and rules. So it makes perfect sense. The dogs want to, because it says, you know, the dogs want, they want, need, and love having rules, and they want to know what's what according to their leader. So, of course, you know, to me, that's just showing a good level of leadership when it comes to levels of any way that you can be in, like I said, leadership of, you know, this is what we're doing and why we're doing it. So just a matter of having things in a way that you can understand them so things can get done. And there's a level of, I understand this relationship, and this is what's expected. So it makes life way more easier, because there's not that stress of not knowing what's going to happen, you know. So same thing with kids and things like that, because I know when I was raising my kids, that's the one thing that, and you know, when you looked at the, you know, kid books for helping to, you know, get babies into structure and all that kinds of stuff with their feeding times and things like that, that's one thing that they always talked about, was like having the schedules and things like that, so kids could feel secure in what was expected. You know, this is bedtime, this is playtime, this is when we're going to do what we do, and this is, you know, when there's a rest time and a playtime. They knew exactly, you know, what the day was going to look like. So it helped them to be able to feel secure in their environments. So just makes sense. Anything on that you want to add on to, Gloria?
No, I think you covered it fairly well.
Okay, cool. I was just wondering with your son, being on that. So, and then number six is forcing your dog to interact with people or dogs that they don't like. That one seemed like a real no-brainer to me. I mean, how many times have you, just on a personal level, had somebody who wants, you know, oh, come talk to this person or come have this interaction with this person? You're like, I don't want to know that person. Why would I want to do that? So, dogs are really. I had a dog once, her name was Shadow, and she used to come to my flower shop, and I loved it when she did, because when I had salespeople come in, she was such a good judge of character. Oh my gosh, she would just like, she'd just look them up to one side and down the other, and either she'd just automatically like them, or she would want nothing to do with them. And once in a while, I would have that with a, you know, the salesperson would come in, and she didn't like them, and I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't do business with you because my dog does not like you. And they looked at me like it was so strange, they couldn't believe it. But there's that sensing that dogs have that's just such a, we're just so blessed to have that, where they just provide such love and knowings that we can't even imagine sometimes with the things that they have for us, that they're just very, very good. So, well, we've got only about a minute left. And I just thought it was just a very interesting conversation. I thought it was an interesting idea, having things with dogs, that the things that dogs don't like to do. But so much of this is what we don't like to have done as well. So I continue to think that dog is our best friend, because they are just so loving, unconditional in the way that they're just there for us. And it's, you know, Dogma is always good about having it be something that can be beneficial to us, and then something that we can be learning from. So I thought that would be such a cool thing that we could go ahead and present for the show. And let us know your comments, what you thought about the hugging, what you thought about some of the other things they had. We will have the article posted on the website at transformation-cafe.com. And go ahead and take a look at that, and let us know your comments and what you think about that. We also have some other things in the store to take a look at for that. So we thank you for checking in with us, Gloria and Jamie. Thank you for coming into the table and having a conversation. And we're going to see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.